com. So lots going on for a Monday. Wow, lots and lots of craziness. And I thought today was Rosenstein Day. I thought he was done today. All kinds of stuff all over the place. Here to give us some thoughts on maybe what's really going on, our good friend Bob Ney, Talk Media News. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you, Rick.
So what do you make of this Rosenstein thing? I'll tell you, there's part of me that goes, this was a bad attempt at trying to steal the news cycle. I thought today would have been the firing. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, I cannot figure what's going on. He's, you know, called to the White House. He's going to be fired or he's going to resign. Neither which happened. And now he's going to meet with the president on Thursday. We all know the president doesn't like him, and we know the president likes him actually more than he likes his own attorney general, but he doesn't like Rosenstein either. And I don't know. I mean, there's been accusations, of course, that he was going to take the president and try to have this inside coup, you know, with the 25th Amendment. And I think that's one thing that probably the president and he will talk face-to-face about. But there has to be a secondary deal here because I don't know why Rosenstein and Sessions remain. I can't figure that out. They can go work somewhere else. So any, you know, people will hire them if they quit. I don't know. I don't get it, Rick.
Yeah, well, I think we've talked about this before. I mean, if I'm Sessions, I'm staying just to spite you.
That might be what he's doing. Now, one thing's for sure. I'm not buying the theory that this meeting Thursday is to steal the news cycle on Kavanaugh and Mrs. Ford.
Okay, because I was going to ask you that because it just seems kind of curious. That
not
originally,
buying it at all. Mm-mm.
Originally, the hearing was supposed to be today. You have this meeting today. And then, no, we're going to push it off till Thursday. It just seems kind of convenient.
Yeah, it does. I just think that this is such a huge deal with Kavanaugh and Mrs. Ford that even the Rosenstein thing cannot overshadow that one. I don't think.
You don't think if he fires Rosenstein that wouldn't steal some of the coverage?
Well, it would take some of it, but I just think this is the Supreme Court. This is really, there's three times this has got this contentious: Bork, Clarence Thomas, and now Kavanaugh. And, you know, midterm elections, it's contentious, you know, the whole nine yards. So I think it'll steal some of it, but I just don't think it's enough, you know, that they think it would take Kavanaugh off the front.
Yeah, I see. I've been reading a lot of conservative, opinions on this, and they hit on the exact thing you said, that, you know, this, they're taking the stand on this one. We're not going to get Borked again. We're not going to go through the Clarence Thomas hearing. This is regardless of what Kavanaugh actually did, and if there are more people coming out, if, you know, who knows? Who knows what happens between now and Thursday? But there's the thought that I'm seeing from these opinion leaders is it doesn't matter what Kavanaugh did. It's the principle. We're going to ram our guy through. And in fact, Mitch McConnell himself said we're going to plow right on through, which I thought was interesting kind of choice of words there.
I think that there, I think that there are two people who have made strategic mistakes on this with actions and verbiage. One being Mitch McConnell, because when you have a situation like this, you don't want those who say, yep, he is as guilty as sin, and you don't want those to say he's just completely innocent. I mean, there's something out here that will come out, okay? And people will make a judgment call, and Mrs. Ford will talk, you know, and he will talk. So I think that Mitch McConnell to say, well, we're going to confirm him. Well, wonder if something comes out and it's proven, right?
Yep.
So that's the one side of it. The other is Senator Feinstein, Dianne Feinstein. And I just think she's got to just stop it. I mean, if Mrs. Ford wants to testify and she's been battered, you know, on Twitter and the whole nine yards, and they moved and all these things, if she's decided she's going to come out on Thursday and testify, Senator Feinstein, don't call for the hearing to be canceled, please.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, you'll change
McConnell
my plans
Feinstein,
for Thursday.
Maybe they both ought to go to breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Just stay away from the Capitol for a day.
Yeah, and you'll ruin, you know, the high drama come Thursday.
Right.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and you know, McConnell wasn't the only one. I mean, Lindsey Graham pretty much said the same thing. You know, you're going to hear, but you know, it's not going to change my mind. I'm still voting for him. And it was like, you know, you haven't even heard the evidence yet. How can you make those blind faith, you know, those kind of declarations without actually knowing, you know, all the details or you know, hearing what Kavanaugh has to say in response? Because I'm actually hearing some rumblings that Kavanaugh's not doing really well under the cross-examination that they're practicing right now.
I don't know. Thursday's going to be – I think Thursday's the do-or-die day. I don't think it's a matter of Ramirez, the second accuser, who seems to have a, in my opinion at least, a weaker situation. I think Ford has the stronger of the two, especially if they call in another witness. But, Thursday's the do-or-die day, and they're either, you know, going to get through this or they're not. And, of course, if they don't, they will come back and they'll punt with Amy Barrett, and then it will be like a locomotion train.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. There's no question she will go right through. And this is what I said the other day. You're still going to get a crazy conservative on the court. There's still going to be, in my view, an extremist on the court. The question is it this guy? But don't you think the bigger problem here is that you had, you know, Trump, you know, kind of just, and the Republicans just ramming this through without really doing the due diligence of a background check?
Well, I mean, they did something. I don't know if they discovered this or didn't discover it or around. I mean, I don't know. This one surprised me because you think by the time the hearing comes, you know, you hear it all.
Yeah,
I think that I know this sounds like beat up Senator Feinstein day, but I'm just thinking myself, if, you know, we were in Congress, you and I, and somebody brought us a letter and it said the following about somebody that is going to potentially sit on the highest seat in the land judicially, Supreme Court, and they want confidentiality, you and I would respect that. But we would get up from the lunch table and take it to the Republican and Democratic heads of the committee and say, here, you know, this is for you two. I think by that time, then, it's on the radar screen. Nobody could deny it, even if it's kept confidential. But nobody could deny it.
Yeah,
and then it would have went a whole different path by now, probably.
Yeah. Do you think that...
That's history.
Yeah. Do you think that didn't happen? I mean, because it just seemed kind of curious to me that how quickly they came out with a response. I mean, it was almost immediate.
Well, I think people knew, maybe not at that point in time, 2 months. You know, Senator Grassley defended Senator Feinstein because, you know, it's still a good old club over there. And he said, oh, I don't think it leaked. Look, if it went through a congresswoman's staff and her onto a senator and staff, and staff in the committee, really? No one knew?
Yeah.
somebody
told somebody something.
Yeah, if you tell your advisor, you've told one too many people. So, yeah, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting. And you had Trump even today come out, and he's my guy, doubled down. I guess you give Trump credit for, you know, doubling down on his guy.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I think Thursday is the it's the do-or-die day. I really do.
It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. But, you know, for me, I want to go back to the Rosenstein thing for a second because you know, something else just popped into my head. If Rosenstein goes on Thursday, what does that mean for Mueller?
What you mean if Rosenstein's fired?
Yeah.
Well, Sessions is going to be gone, like I said, election night or the next day. So then there's two replacements. I would bet you a dime to the dollar the two replacements would be of a mindset that Mueller's, you know, done enough and had enough time.
Yeah, who do you think replaces Sessions? You think it's Rudy?
Oh my!
Think Rudy? Wouldn't that be
fun? Oh my! Wow! That would be amazing.
Or maybe I don't think Chris Christie. I don't think that's going to happen. But you know,
no,
I'm thinking Rudy.
Yeah, might be.
Or maybe you know the. Well, I guess Cohen's too far down the list.
Rudy would be the most entertaining.
That would be hysterical. Yeah. Now, granted, mm-hmm. you know, the country would go straight to pot. I mean, you know, again, more mm-hmm. more dysfunction, more insanity. It's just incredible to me. Do you buy anything, the rumor that Rosenstein offered to wear a wire or was going to wear a wire to record Trump?
If he did, I mean, who did he tell and how did that get out? I can't imagine him telling somebody that.
See, I can't.
No, I don't buy that.
I don't buy either one of them. Because, again, who would you tell? And, you know, something you just got drunk at a party and started blathering on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just, that one, I don't see it.
All right, just wanted to get your thought on it.
Seems like the type of guy that, you know, he wants to do the job, and, you know, he's a career guy, you know, out there. He's had to ride herd over a lot of things, including Comey, and everything Comey did.
I'm sure this is not what he had anticipated when he took the job.
Right, because it has been a nightmare, or agents that, you know, did emails to their lovers to show how big they are, they can maybe go at the president. You know, I mean, the whole nine yards. Comey, who cleared Hillary Clinton, then trashed her to death.
Yeah.
And then called an investigation within 7 days of the election, which you don't do for anybody. Yeah, so, yeah, he's had to live through a lot.
Yeah, I mean, Comey's that guy that everybody hates.
Right, isn't that the truth?
I mean, you know, he's almost...
It's true.
He's almost like the ACLU. Everybody hates the ACLU for something. And then they love them for something else. It's this kind of weird, bizarre moment. And finally, let's move along. Evidently, Trump had an address on the world drug trade, world drug problem. What was that about?
Well, I'd like to give you a personal note on this one, by the way. Trump is going to speak to the United Nations tomorrow, the president is, and he met with this global initiative on, you know, doing something about drugs and opioids in particular, and heroin, of course, and how it's moving worldwide. And so it's fine, you know, he addresses that issue. But for our United States government, I went into Afghanistan. I was there with Sheila Jackson Lee, Congressman Kanjorski, and Congressman Hobson. And we were the first delegation, I believe, if I'm correct, to go to Afghanistan after the invasion. We were, I think, January of 2002, if I remember right, okay? We went into the American Embassy, and it was Khalilzad, who was the temporary ambassador. And Congressman Hobson asked the question about the opium fields, when they would be destroyed. And I spoke up and I said, they're not going to be destroyed, you know?
No, that's their cash crop. That's what, you know, how people make a living.
And Congressman Hobson is, you know, he's a friend of mine, and I talked with Sheila at the time, and I'm like, they're not going to destroy them. They should, but they won't. So, you know, opium production has grown. And our country and other countries won't do anything about it because they knew the warlords would, you know, probably kill Karzai in about 2.5 minutes and the country would go into all kinds of problems and the cash crop and all the people involved in that, the worldwide syndicate. So, I mean, I give the president credit on the opium issue, but we had an opportunity to burn the fields. And I think some were small amounts, but no, it's sold more than ever before. Horrible problem.
Just don't be downwind of that burning.
Right. Yes, true.
But, you know, wasn't there a plan, you know, back then to buy it all? Wasn't that the goal?
Right.
We're going to buy it up and we're going to use it to get all of our citizens hooked on legal opioids.
Oh, they were talking about buying it up so that they could destroy it, but they would have to pay all the people and the 100,000 people that picked the poppies.
Yeah, but, you know, would that be, I don't know, because I remember those arguments back then, and I remember going through, they're never going to destroy that stuff, and even if they do, you're just going to make it more expensive and more lucrative to do, you know, and I'm glad to see we've done nothing since. Well, again, you know, so what's Trump's plan? Is there an idea? Is there something he's willing to do? Is there an idea in the head?
I think they've got two ways they have to confront it, and... you know, the president has pushed for, you know, some prison reform and the opioid issue, and members of Congress have pushed for it as it became, you know, they realized finally an epidemic. But they still have a long way to go, I think. And there needs to be, you know, you have to have treatment. And unless you, if you have Medicaid, you can get detox, but in a lot of cases, Medicaid will not pay for treatment. And of course, if you don't have insurance, then you're stuck. You're not going to get treatment. And people say, well, this is their fault. Well, they're addicts. And, you know, either they get treatment or they're going to continue, you know, with no hope. Now, I'm not saying some people can't do it themselves, but so if these bills can focus on the treatment, that's great. Prevention, that's important to do education when kids are younger because they're starting at 14 on this. But a lot of it's also it's treatment.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. I mean, you're someone who's big in the treatment world. And is it because I've known a bunch of people who have had, you know, various drug and alcohol problems over the years. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. you know, there are some that I've seen that have taken the, you know, they've traded one drug for another, mm-hmm. Usually religion, and they become mm-hmm. really crazy, far out, you know, extremists. Or they never get. They're constantly in treatment, constantly, mm-hmm. you know, this constant struggle, this constant fight. Mm-hmm. And is it ever something that you're going to be able to actually cure, fix, deal with? Thoughts?
Yeah, you can never be cured of it. Now, some people may disagree with me. It's always going to be there. You always have to be on guard. You can lose the obsession for alcohol and drugs. That can happen. But you're always going to have to be on the watch because, you know, one time back out can undo you. People, I call them regular Earth citizens, they go through a trauma and they don't turn to any form of alcohol or drugs. But there are people that do turn to it. And so if they get sober from, you know, alcohol and drugs and something bad happens, they have to be able to not go back out and use because of that bad situation. Or if they're feeling really good, you know, they've got to not use. So it's always going to be there, but people can at least lose the obsession if they hang in there long enough in most cases.
Yeah.
But you always got to be on guard.
Yeah,
no question.
Yeah, you know, I remember back, you know, I was guessing in my really early, late teens, early 20s,
mm-hmm.
I was playing in a band at the time, drinking a lot. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, to this day, it was literally beaten out of me. Coming home from a gig one night, and mm-hmm. One thing led to another, and by the end of the night, you know, I either beat up nine cops or they beat me up,
mm-hmm.
or however that played out. Mm-hmm. And I've never drank since, and that was what, mm-hmm. 1991.
And people do have those moments, and those moments are wake up calls, and some people heed them, which, you know, you did, and some don't, but. But for a lot of people, especially alcohol, if they have the genetic code in their DNA, they have to be careful of that, you know, of that first drink or, you know, after that point in time. But it's beyond stopping. You have to stop.
Yeah.
But then if you're an addict or an alcoholic, you have to, you know, go through at least, some type of recovery program or working with somebody. And then again, the obsession can leave you. You just got to be on guard, you know, so that you don't say, oh, well, it's okay now. I can just, you know, get out in the bar and start it again.
Yeah, I don't think I'm an addict, but, you know, one, two, yeah, it's fine. Then you cut it off because one, two, after the third, then you get into 12 and mm-hmm. 15 and 20, and that's yeah. that's not
And
a
then
good
there's
pick.
Alpha personalities. They're going to drink. They're really going to drink. They're going to gamble. They're really going to gamble.
Absolutely, you know? And this is why I've told my kids I've never smoked pot. I've never taken any drugs.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's rare that I'll take, you know, even an aspirin,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because and not because look, I'm not a goody two shoes or anything like that.
Right.
But, mm-hmm. I know if I was going to take drugs, I'd be the best drug addict ever.
Right. Exactly.
There's no question right. about it. Or the best yeah. heroin addict or whatever. I would be the best at it.
Right. And, you know, if there's anybody out there listening and they have an issue, you know, go to a recovery meeting. They're free.
Yeah.
And go to a recovery meeting. Don't isolate. Reach out. Talk to other people who have had the addiction or alcohol problems, and it'll help them.
Yeah. It's.
Yeah. They don't have to live like that.
Yeah. And we should be spending a lot more money on recovery.
Oh, absolutely.
Look at all the money we spend on prison.
Right. And that's the other thing. I was incarcerated. Oh, my goodness. There is no people will say, well, if they're in prison 10 years, if they don't have some form of mind change, some form of treatment or process, they'll get back out and they can use the first day they're out.
Yeah. Well, I understand.
It's beyond stopping. Yeah.
In this country, it's not about rehabilitation. It's about retribution.
Oh, it's punishment. It's warehousing.
That's all it is.
Right.
Just sad stuff. But, Bob, I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Good thoughts. Okay. Thanks so much.
Have a great night. Thank you.
You too. Bob Nay, Talk Media News. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people.